Chapter 20, Naaman. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, had defeated the armies of Israel in battle, which resulted in the death of Ahab. Since that time, the Syrians had maintained against Israel a constant border warfare, and in one of their raids they had carried away a little maid who, in the land of her captivity, waited on Naaman's wife. A slave far from her home, this little maid was nevertheless one of God's witnesses, unconsciously fulfilling the purpose for which God had chosen Israel as his people. As she ministered in that heathen home, her sympathies were aroused in behalf of her master, and remembering the wonderful miracles of healing wrought through Elisha, she said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." She knew that the power of heaven was with Elisha, and she believed that by his power Naaman could be healed. The conduct of the captive maid, the way that she bore herself in that heathen home, is a strong witness to the power of early home training. There is no higher trust than that committed to fathers and mothers in the care and training of their children. Parents have to do with the very foundation of habit and character. By their example and teaching, the future of their children is largely decided. Happy are the parents whose lives are a true reflection of the divine, so that the promises and commands of God awaken in the child gratitude and reverence. The parents whose tenderness and justice and long-suffering interpret to the child the love and justice and long-suffering of God, and who by teaching the child to love and trust and obey them, are teaching him to love and trust and obey his Father in heaven. Parents who impart to the child such a gift have endowed him with a treasure more precious than the wealth of all the ages, a treasure as enduring as eternity. We know not in what line our children may be called to serve. They may spend their lives within the circle of the home. They may engage in life's common vocations, or go as teachers of the gospel to heathen lands. But all are alike called to be missionaries for God, ministers of mercy to the world. They are to obtain an education that will help them to stand by the side of Christ in unselfish service. The parents of that Hebrew maid, as they taught her of God, did not know the destiny that would be hers, but they were faithful to their trust, and in the home of the captain of the Syrian host, their child bore witness to the God whom she had learned to honor. Naaman heard of the words that the maid had spoken to her mistress, and obtaining permission from the king, he went forth to seek healing, taking with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He also carried a letter from the king of Syria to the king of Israel, in which was written the message, "Behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Tidings of the matter reached Elisha, and he sent word to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Through a messenger the prophet bade him, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Naaman had expected to see some wonderful manifestation of power from heaven. "I thought," he said, "he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." When told to wash in the Jordan, his pride was touched, and in mortification and disappointment he exclaimed, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. the proud spirit of Naaman rebelled against following the course outlined by Elisha. The rivers mentioned by the Syrian captain were beautified by surrounding groves, and many flocked to the banks of these pleasant streams to worship their idol gods. It would have cost Naaman no great humiliation of soul to descend into one of those streams, but it was only through following the specific directions of the prophet that he could find healing. Willing obedience alone could bring the desired result. And Naaman's servants entreated him to carry out Elisha's direction. "If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing," they urged, "wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" The faith of Naaman was being tested while pride struggled for the mastery. But faith conquered, and the haughty Syrian yielded his pride of heart and bowed in submission to the revealed will of Jehovah. 7 times he dipped himself in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his faith was honored. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Gratefully he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, with the acknowledgment, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." In accordance with the custom of the times, Naaman now asked Elisha to accept a costly present. But the prophet refused. It was not for him to take payment for a blessing that God had in mercy bestowed. "As the Lord liveth," he said, "I will receive none." The seer urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." And he said unto him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. Gehazi, Elisha's servant, had had opportunity during the years to develop the spirit of self-denial characterizing his master's work. It had been his privilege to become a noble standard-bearer in the army of the Lord. The best gifts of heaven had long been within his reach, yet turning from these, he had coveted instead the base alloy of worldly wealth. And now the hidden longings of his avaricious spirit led him to yield to an overmastering temptation. "Behold," he reasoned within himself, "my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But I will run after him and take somewhat of him." And thus it came about that in secrecy Gehazi followed after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well." Then Gehazi uttered a deliberate lie. "My master," he said, "hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." To the request, Naaman gladly acceded, pressing upon Gehazi 2 talents of silver instead of 1 with 2 changes of garments, and commissioned servants to bear the treasure back. As Gehazi neared Elisha's home, he dismissed the servants and placed the silver and the garments in hiding. This accomplished, he went in and stood before his master, and to shield himself from censure, he uttered a 2nd lie. In response to the inquiry of the prophet, "Whence comest thou?" Gehazi answered, "Thy servant went no whither." Then came the stern denunciation, showing that Elisha knew all. "Went not mine heart with thee?" he asked, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee. "Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." Swift was the retribution that overtook the guilty man. He went out from Elisha's presence a leper, as white as snow. Solemn are the lessons taught by this experience of one to whom had been given high and holy privileges. The course of Gehazi was such as to place a stumbling block in the path of Naaman, upon whose mind had broken a wonderful light, and who was favorably disposed toward the service of the living God. For the deception practiced by Gehazi, there could be pleaded no excuse. To the day of his death, he remained a leper, cursed of God and shunned by his fellow man. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Men may think to hide their evil deeds from human eyes, but they cannot deceive God. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Gehazi thought to deceive Elisha, but God revealed to his prophet the words that Gehazi had spoken to Naaman, and every detail of the scene between the two men. Truth is of God. Deception in all its myriad forms is of Satan, and whoever in any way departs from the straight line of truth is betraying himself into the power of the wicked one. Those who have learned of Christ will have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In speech as in life, they will be simple, straightforward, and true, for they are preparing for the fellowship of those holy ones in whose mouth is found no guile. Centuries after Naaman returned to his Syrian home, healed in body and converted in spirit, his wonderful faith was referred to and commended by the Savior as an object lesson for all who claim to serve God. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, the Savior declared, and none of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. God passed over the many lepers in Israel because their unbelief closed the door of good to them. A heathen nobleman who had been true to his convictions of right and who felt his need of help was in the sight of God more worthy of his blessing than were the afflicted in Israel who had slighted and despised their God-given privileges. God works for those who appreciate his favors and respond to the light given them from heaven. Today and in every land there are those who are honest in heart, and upon these the light of heaven is shining. If they continue faithful in following that which they understand to be duty, they will be given increased light, until like Naaman of old they will be constrained to acknowledge that there is no God in all the earth save the living God, the Creator. To every sincere soul that walketh in darkness and hath no light is given the invitation, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. For since the beginning of the world men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways.